Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
The SPAC frenzy is slowing down. We'll talk about why.
We've seen this worry that interest rates are going to go up and make a lot of speculative trades less attractive hit tech stocks, cryptocurrencies, and all of that. But a lot of startups that went public through SPACs, that's where the damage is most acute.
And another blow to the Biden administration's vaccine push. Plus, with furniture on backlog, how some people are getting creative with home decor. It's Friday, January 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Three new studies released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention support earlier findings that vaccines and booster shots offer strong protection against the Delta and Omicron variants of COVID-19. One study finds that a third dose of either Pfizer or Moderna shots was at least 90% effective in preventing hospitalization. Another, published in Nature, supported findings by Pfizer and its partner BioNTech that a booster shot neutralizes Omicron and that its two-dose regimen is significantly less effective at blocking the virus. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Texas has blocked the Biden administration's vaccine requirement for federal employees, ruling that the president does not have the authority to mandate shots. The ruling marks another setback for the administration's vaccination push. Last week, the Supreme Court blocked Biden's vaccine or testing mandate for large private employers, but it did allow the administration to move forward on mandating vaccines for more than 10 million healthcare workers whose facilities participate in Medicare and Medicaid. As we reported this morning, Intel says it'll invest at least $20 billion in new chip-making facilities in Ohio as part of its efforts to ramp up manufacturing amid the global semiconductor shortage. During a press conference this afternoon, Intel President and CEO Pat Gelsinger gave more details about the company's plans.
Spanning nearly 1,000 acres, our new megasite can accommodate a total of 8 chip factories over its life. You know, today we're starting with the first two, with a clear intention to build more.
Intel said the facility would create 3,000 permanent jobs. President Biden cheered the investment in a speech earlier today in Washington, D.C., where he also touted the recently passed federal infrastructure spending package.
It's going to create better jobs for millions of Americans all over the country, rural, urban, suburban. And it means America is the most attractive place for companies like Intel to invest and make their products. Because of the law, this year, for the first time in 2 decades, our infrastructure investment will grow faster than China's. For the first time in decades. This is a game changer. Now we have to build on that progress.
Biden also called on Congress to pass legislation to fund domestic chip making. The Biden administration is also hoping to attract and retain more foreign students and professionals in the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math, to help the U.S. stay competitive. To do that, the administration is making a series of policy changes, like expanding the number of disciplines international students can study to qualify to work in the U.S. on student visas. It'll also start allowing students in eligible fields to work in the U.S. for 3 years after they graduate. A rout on Wall Street deepened today, with all three major indexes ending the day and the week with losses, led by falling tech shares. It's the third straight week of losses for the major indexes, as investors worry about the prospect of higher interest rates and their effect on valuations. The Nasdaq was down more than 7.5% for the week, and the S&P 500 dropped 5.7%. It was the indices' worst week since March of 2020. The Dow fell more than 4.5%. And with a decline in tech shares came losses for Bitcoin. The cryptocurrency fell below $38,000 in trading today, its lowest dollar value since August of 2021, according to CoinDesk, though it later regained some ground. Coming up, why one of the hottest trades is cooling down.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems. developing hybrid electric engines, and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Investment in SPACs soared during the height of the pandemic. SPACs are blank check companies started as shell companies and aim to raise lots of money from investors with the goal of merging with a private company to go public. And hundreds of startups, from electric vehicle makers to pet companies, piled into the craze, raising $160 billion last year. But now the frenzy is slowing back down, and many investors are pulling out of deals. Since early November, at least 10 companies have terminated a SPAC deal, according to Dealogic. For comparison, there were 13 such terminations in the first 10 months of last year. So why is interest in SPACs sinking? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar. Hi, Amrith. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before we get to the slowdown, let's talk a little bit about what drew investors into SPACs in the first place. What made these so attractive, and what led to the boom we saw earlier on in the pandemic?
SPACs were seen as a modern alternative to a traditional initial public offering. So normally in an IPO, a company has to have several years of proven financials, and it's kind of limited to a lot of professional investors as far as who can buy in right away. The SPAC was seen as an accelerant. It was seen as a way to look forward. You're able to make forward projections, which in the depths of a pandemic is kind of attractive to a lot of people. So a lot of companies were able to say, look, the pandemic is hurting us, but we have these powerful drivers behind us. So a lot of startups flocked to the space, and a lot of investors piled in seeking fast gains. So you had every company you can imagine as far as sector. You had biotech companies, electric flying taxi companies, a lot of speculative companies, but also names you've heard of: BarkBox, Beachbody, BuzzFeed, the electric scooter company Bird. And the real problem that a lot of people found was a lot of the valuations were just insane. So you had people pile in, and now you're kind of seeing the opposite happen at the first sign of trouble. But it was really that kind of excitement and ability to look forward that sat at the heart of why SPACs boomed so much in the first place.
Let's talk more about that slowdown. What exactly is happening now? Why are more investors souring on SPACs? And can we quantify how much interest has waned?
So the SPAC is not going away. There are still hundreds of SPACs out there. There will be companies going public this way, but the share price declines now are really staggering. The SPAC frenzy and SPAC mania peaked about a year ago, and now a lot of the hottest companies that went public this way, those shares are down 60% or more in the last 12 months. So you're talking about just really swift declines that have hurt a lot of individual investors and even a lot of Wall Street institutions. So funds managed by big names like BlackRock, Fidelity, they put money into a lot of these things at $10 a share. And now they're trading at $4, $5, $6, $7 a share. So we've seen this worry that interest rates are going to go up and make a lot of speculative trades less attractive hit tech stocks, cryptocurrencies, and all of that. But a lot of startups that went public through SPACs, that's where the damage is most acute. And for SPACs, share price declines actually mean a lot, because then you get investors pulling their money out of a SPAC before a deal gets done, before it finishes that deal. An investor can pull their money out at typically $10 a share. And most professional investors seek to do that to either limit taking a loss on the trade or to lock in a small return. But a lot of shares of SPACs have been trading so poorly at like 980 or 990 that most investors now would rather pull their money out at $10 before a deal goes through and then not wait to see what happens to the stock price. But that then leaves a company going public like a BuzzFeed with much less money from their SPAC deal than they thought they would have to grow their business. And it can become this negative cycle where the stock price trades down, a lot of investors put their money out, then the stock trades even lower, and that can trigger these negative things. So we've seen that play out in a number of deals lately, and that's added to the negative momentum.
Let's kind of parse out the consequences here for retail traders. I'm imagining some retail investors who may have got in on this early have maybe discovered this is not quite the investment for them.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think for a lot of retail investors who got in at the beginning, and this started happening like a few years ago, even like 2019, 2020, they're still sitting on pretty big gains, like a lot of the speculative trades. Like if you get in early enough, it's okay. But a lot of them are down like 40, 50, 60% in the past year. So I think it's more that, as we've seen with GameStop mania and a lot of the meme stocks, you might still be up, but you also might have seen tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars evaporate in a pretty short period of time. And the concern is that SPAC creators are protected through these unique incentives. So often when share prices trade badly, SPAC creators, their paper gains are slashed as well, but they're often still making money. But if you're a retail investor who got in closer to the peak, then you actually lost a lot of money and might not have known what you're buying. So that kind of trend has been a big concern for regulators, and regulatory scrutiny is another factor that's playing a role in this.
And on the flip side, for companies, as you just outlined, there are some pretty severe consequences when all that money comes back out.
On the company side, a lot of companies that went public this way, they were still able to raise a good amount of money, and now they're just going to trade as small cap companies. And really, the proof will be in the pudding. Like, what investors want to see is actual revenue and actual profit. So if these companies are able to deliver on that sooner down the road and do what they promised they would do in their SPAC deal, then I think those shares could be positioned to rise. But a lot of the companies that promised big things at high valuations and then have hit snags, that's where the trouble lies. And recently, several companies that try to go public this way and announce SPAC deals are now backing out before the deals close. So the savings and investing app Acorns was the latest to do that in the past week. And I reported that basically market volatility for both fintech stocks and companies that go public through a SPAC was a big factor there. And so now they're looking to raise private financing in another private round, and then down the road pursue a traditional IPO. And there are several companies, I think, that would fall into that category now too. So the SPAC was always going to be on the menu. Like, it will still be an option. You'll have the option to raise money privately. You could do a traditional IPO, or you could do a SPAC deal. I think the takeaway moving forward will be, if you're going to do a SPAC deal, the valuation has to be right. You have to think long and hard about the structure and brace for volatility, because even a lot of, again, pretty quality companies to a lot of investors and a lot of smart people have been crushed by this recent bout of volatility. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, if you're still waiting for your new couch or bed or dining room set to get delivered, you're not alone. Between widespread supply chain issues like shipping delays and stock shortages, coupled with high demand for furniture, some customers say they've been waiting months for their orders to arrive. In the meantime, our reporter Katie Binley says people are finding ways to improvise.
So there was one couple that just had their mattress on the floor for a while because they didn't have a bed frame. They were waiting on a couch for a while, so they ended up buying beanbag chairs from Costco and sitting in those. Another couple we spoke with, they were waiting for their couch and ended up using beach chairs. And then they also had a bench that was like a camping bench that was complimentary from Subaru when they bought their car. So when they wanted to sit side by side, they would get together on the bench.
And Katie says some are finding that by the time their furniture does arrive, the temporary replacements like beanbag chairs have already become permanent fixtures. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Trinay Nouri and Mohsen Ali, with help from Anthony Bansi, Kate Bullivant, Julie Chang, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Sandra Kilhoff, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.